For the Holy Mass of the Angels, I think we should say something about the angels. It might be well to remind ourselves that long before Christianity, among the famous philosophers of Greece, for example, Plato, they already claimed there must be angels. Believing as they did in God, believing that this God made a world of sheer matter, knowing that man is a combination of matter and spirit, just for the completion of God's creation, there must be three kinds of creatures, so they thought. Pure matter, sun, moon, and stars, the earth below us, man, matter and spirit, and pure spirit. The angels are purely spiritual beings. No one can call himself, I don't see a Catholic, but even a Christian, who does not believe in angels. What do we believe about the angels? We believe that before God made the world of space and time, before He created man, He had long ago made the angels. Many fathers of the church believe that God intended to make only angels. But as we know, many fell. How many? Again, among the fathers of the church, as many fell as there will be human beings created to replace them. That's a lot of fallen angels. No less than we, the angels have to prove their loyalty to God. They were not created in place into heaven. They were on probation. In, if you wish, their angelic world. Those who prove faithful enter heaven. Those who are unfaithful, not were sent to hell. Hell was created by the sin of the angels. And in all the documents of the church regarding hell, the church speaks of unfaithful human beings as joining the fallen angels. But for our purpose, we have come correctly to speak of angels as only the good ones. Let's not forget. There are other kinds of angels too. What should we know and especially put into practice regarding the good angels? Especially three things. First, to imitate the angels in what is their principal responsibility, why they were mainly made to adore God. Secondly, to invoke the angels. And thirdly, to listen to them. First, we are to imitate the angels. With all the responsibility that we have during life, all the things that the laws of God impose on us to do. You would think we have a lot of responsibilities. Actually, we have only one. Our principal task in life is to adore God. And come to think of it, that's all the whole moral order is about. Why obey God? Why do this or not do something else? What are the Ten Commandments? But ten ways in which God wants us to adore Him. Because adoration of God is recognizing who God is and who we are, and acting accordingly. But it's especially in imitating the angels in our praying of adoration. There are many forms of prayer that we can practice. We ask for so many things because we need so many things. We are to thank God. We are to beg His mercy. But the most important responsibility we have in life is to pray by adoring God. Being aware of God's existence, that's where it all starts. Because if you're like the rest of the human race, guess whose existence you are mainly and mostly conscious of? I don't say just during the day, but even at night. And I don't tell you whose. Aware of the fact that God exists, paying attention to Him, showing our affection towards Him, in a word, adoring Him. And when Daniel speaks of the 10,000 times 10,000 who worship at His throne, speaking of God, he is referring to the angels. Our most important task in this life, because our most important responsibility of the life to come will be to adore God. That's the first lesson. Imitate the angels by paying attention to God. And how hard that is. When so much of the created world clamors for attention, that's the main reason why you do adore during the night, don't you? Keep doing it. One reason God became man, to make it easier for us to adore Him. The second lesson, to invoke the angels. Every day, especially in three ways. First, to memorize some short prayer to all the angels. Like, for example, a prayer from today's votive mass. There are myriads of angels. To invoke them all with one sweeping statement. One of the joys of heaven must be talking to the angels. and they don't use their lips. Who says you have to use your lips or open your mouth to talk? Secondly, every day, invoke St. Michael. Do you? And third, every day, invoke your guardian spirit. Do you? If you don't shake your head, that means you should start doing it. And remember, our angel, as today's gospel reveals, each one of us, this is an oracle of the Catholic faith, each one of us has his or her own angel. Some people are in the habit of giving their angel a name. Not a bad idea. This angel's function is twofold. He is first to guide and then to guard. Guide our minds, and we sure need guidance. And guard our will, that we don't go astray. Ask the angels to guide and guard the Church, our Holy Father. Once in a while, talk to the guardian angel of the Holy Father. The saints believe, and the Church encourages the belief, that not just individuals but societies have their own special angels. The handmaids of the precious blood have a special angel. Did you know that? That's the second responsibility. Pray to the angel. But beyond imitation, beyond invocation, we are also and with emphasis to listen to the angels. Saint Ignatius, in the spiritual exercise, makes a lot of the angels. He simply assumes, as all the masters of the spiritual life assume, that when we talk about discernment of spirits, that is, listening to the good spirits and avoiding the evil spirit, the good spirit is the angel. What does it mean to listen to the angel? You'll notice this is another one of those longer homilies, and it's not Sunday. It may sound, I hope it isn't, in your estimation, it may sound poetic or rhetorical to talk about listening to the angel, but frankly, this is the bedrock of the spiritual life. In God's ordinary providence, He gives us His grace, not directly. This is the common teaching of all the masters of spirituality. He ordinarily inspires us. He gives us His grace, not directly, but through angelic spirits. And it just shows how far we have departed from the ages of faith that we have to have a special homily and I elongated it on this subject. You meet Thomas Aquinas, 13th century. He is not for nothing called the angelic doctor. Section after section, tens of thousands of words in the Summa on the angels and how we are to listen to their instructions. One simple, basic rule. First, the condition. None of what I'm saying makes sense. We cannot begin to talk about discerning spirits or for our purpose, recognizing an inspiration of the good angel, except and unless we sincerely and honestly want to do the will of God. It all begins there. But provided I honestly want to do God's will, and it better be honest, then, and this is no mere counsel, this is not cheap spiritual advice, this for me is the single most important maxim in the spiritual life. Then, if I really want to do God's will, then, whatever thought I have, whatever crosses my mind, and it gives me peace, it strengthens my trust and confidence in God, then, and what a conclusion, I can be sure it's an inspiration of a good spirit, otherwise known as a good angel. And then I follow what I'm convinced is an inspiration. And conversely, whatever disturbs me, worries me, makes me anxious, deprives me of that peace of mind that is one who wants to do God's will should experience, it is not from the good spirit. No single advice in Catholic spirituality is more practically important than this one. Let's then ask, first, all the angels. There are millions. Then Saint Michael, the leader of the angelic host, and most especially our own guiding and guardian spirits. To be conscious of their existence, to strive to imitate their constant attention to and awareness of God, otherwise known as adoration. But especially to be faithful to their inspiration. And how do we know we are being inspired? By the good spirit. By the peace of soul which this spirit always brings to the one who wants to do the will of God. Let's recite together. Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom has loved come to me.